Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is teaching through a series of messages designed to encourage, equip, and prepare us spiritually for the new year ahead. We've titled this series, Jesus, All We Need. As we grow in our understanding of living the life God has called us to, don't we find it interesting that the God that is working supernaturally in our lives works out His will in an almost natural way? Let's join Pastor Brian in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 as he continues in his message, Be Mature in Understanding.
You know, I talked to a man a few weeks ago who came in, and he was a nice man, and I think he was very sincere. But he came in and he said, I think I'm supposed to go to the into the ministry. I'm here to find out about how to get in the ministry, and I heard you had a school here, and you can train for the ministry and all that. And I said, well, why do you think that? And he said, well, I've failed at everything else. I figured it's probably because I'm running from God's will, and He probably wants me to be in the ministry. I said, well, let's talk for a second about your life. Said, how are things going at home? Oh, I didn't. My wife and I can't remember if they were separated or something, but things weren't going too well at home. Tell me about your job. Oh, I lost my job. Got in a scuffle with somebody on the job. You know, and I said, now, listen. We got to start with first things first. God's not going to call you into the ministry, into pastoral ministry, until you get your life sorted out in just the basic things of being a Christian. So we got to start with your marriage. We got to start with your family. We've got to start with your job. And you know, sometimes I think that's a mistake that people make. They're thinking about serving God in all of these grandiose terms, and you know, dealing with young people and college students. You know, I've had college students come to me and tell me about the vision that God's given them, and they've got such a passion. They're going to go here, and they're going to do this for the Lord, and they're all expressive, you know, and multitudes and millions, and God's going to do this and all of that. And then, by the way, did I tell you that I'm sleeping with my girlfriend? No, you kind of overlooked that. We need to go back and talk about that, because those other things might be a reality, but they're never going to happen until you get this area sorted out. So you see, we've got to start with just being real Christians. I can tell you today, right now, what God's will is for many areas of your life. I can tell you, husbands in here, it's God's will that you love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's God's will. I can tell you, wives, it's God's will that you submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. It's God's will that you stay married, that you love each other. It's God's will that you bring up your family in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. Those of you that are single, I can tell you it's God's will that you remain pure. There's no doubt about it. That's God's will. You remain pure and sanctify yourself and seek the Lord. I assume everybody in here has got a job. It's God's will that you do your best on your job. Be a good witness right there. You see, a lot of times we overlook the fundamental, basic things, and we're looking for God's will in all of these different places, but we haven't started with it where it is right in front of us. I deal with lots of pastors and, you know, have many friends in different parts of the world, and it always strikes me. I know guys who want to reach a nation for Jesus, but they don't want to pay any attention to the little congregation that's sitting right in front of them. But you can't reach the nation if you can't reach the people that are sitting right in front of you. I'd tell them, take care of the church God's given you. If you're going to reach the nation, you got to start with the people that God brings you. And so it is in our lives that we've got to start with those basic, those fundamental things of doing the will of God where he's revealed it. And then the specifics, the details, the gifts, those other things that pertain to the more specific calling, those things will come together. Somebody asked me recently if I believed that God had a perfect mate for each person. Does God have somebody that he wills for you to be married to? And I had to say, I believe so. I believe that's the case in my life. I look at my wife, I look at our children, I look at the call upon our lives and what God has done and what he's doing, and I couldn't imagine this happening with any other person or in any other way. I just think, I know it was God's will that Cheryl and I were married. And I remember back in the courting period where we were wrestling through that. Is this really God's call? Is this his will? And now looking back with hindsight, you say absolutely yes. But I do believe that to be true. But now some people say, but you know, my husband and I or my wife and I, we got married before we were Christians. So how could that be God's will? Well, you know, God is sovereign. He's working out things providentially. And he's even working out things even when you're not a Christian. You can look back on other things and remember things that happened where you realize now God was in that. Some people say, well, we weren't Christians when we got married, so I think it's God's will that we get unmarried. I want to find a good godly mate. Doesn't work that way. If he's numbered the hairs on our head, I think he's also concerned about who we're going to spend our lives with and partner with in ministry and all of that sort of thing. But then, again, as we come down to the specifics, as we're walking in the revealed will, the general will, the things that we know that are laid out very clearly for us in Scripture that we're supposed to do, those other things are going to just, they just sort of almost seemingly naturally come together. Pastor Chuck has used this term a lot of times over the years. God works supernaturally in very natural ways. And that is often how it is. You're called into some specific work or service for God, but it seems to happen just sort of almost naturally. I look at my own experience. I remember back never really thinking at the time about being a pastor or thinking that I wanted to be a pastor. I didn't really have the concept in my mind. The only pastor I had ever known was Chuck. And I, you know, he was Pastor Chuck. I didn't think in those terms. I wanted to serve the Lord. I was serving the Lord, but I never thought in terms of serving the Lord in that kind of a capacity. And one day after Cheryl and I had been married for a while, I was working in a surf shop down in Huntington Beach, and she called me up and she said, honey, my dad called and he wants to talk to you, so call him at the office. So I gave Pastor Chuck a call here at the office and he said, yeah, I've been praying about it and thinking about it. I'd like you to come and, you know, join me on the staff here and work with me. And I remember at the time thinking, I can't do that. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. And I told him that. I said, I don't know what to do. He said, well, I know you don't know what to do. That's why I want you to come, because I want to train you. That's what he said. And, you know, at the time, all I knew is I want to serve the Lord. I was working in a surf shop, and my friends that I grew up with would come and drop by the shop, and I'd share Jesus with them and tell them how I got saved and what happened in my life. And as other people would come through, you know, buying wetsuits and clothes and surfboards, I would do my best to share the gospel with them. And I was thinking, you know, because I had this kind of background in the surf world and culture, maybe I'd go to Hawaii or something like that and do something over there. I never was thinking maybe I could go work at the church. The thought never crossed my mind. And so when Pastor Chuck brought it up to me, I was sort of taken aback a bit. And wow. And I thought, okay, yeah, I'll do it. And Now, as all these years have passed, I realized that was God moving me more into that specific call that he had upon my life. But you see what I'm saying? Sometimes it happens just in these very seemingly natural kind of ways, but they're not natural, they're supernatural. God is at work. So understanding the will of the Lord, get the obvious things taken care of, and God will bring you an understanding in his time of the details. Thirdly and finally, I want to talk about understanding more clearly the call of God. Now, the difference between the call of God and the will of God is I want to look at the call of God in relation not to ourselves individually so much, but in relation to the church. And the reason that I'm bringing this point up is because I think there's a lot of confusion today in people's minds about just what it is that the church is called to do. And there are a lot of different opinions that people have about what the church is called to do or supposed to do. And we're hearing many things, and there are many different voices saying the church ought to be doing this. No, the church ought to be doing that. No, I think that the church should be this, or the church has failed to do this. The question is, what are we as the church, the body of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, however you want to describe it, we, God's people collectively, not just here at this location, but the larger body, what is the church called to do? What is the calling for the church? You know, some say today, and those voices are getting louder and louder as the elections are drawing nearer and nearer, some say, well, the church's job is to reform the country. We've got to straighten this country out. We've got to get it back on course. We've got to go back and remember what the founding fathers had in mind, and we've got to turn this thing back to what they intended with the Judeo-Christian values and all of that. And listen, I agree that that would be a much better situation than we have today, but I do not believe that that is what the church is called to do, primarily. Now, if in the church doing what it's called to do, if that happened, that would be wonderful. But the church hasn't been called to reform the nation. We as individual Christians, we will vote, we will do the things that we do as citizens, and hopefully that will have some impact in that area. But that's not the specific calling of the church. And you know, sometimes I hear people expressing these things and, you know, they're really kind of laying a guilt trip on us. And sometimes I'll listen to some of the things these people say, and I get so burdened and so weighed down and think, oh man, I am just such a failure. The country's going down the tubes, and I'm not fixing it. I'm not turning it the other direction. And, you know, I'm one person, and I feel overwhelmed. But that's not our calling. Now, again, if that were to happen through the process that God has used historically, see, what God has done historically is he's poured out his Spirit. Lots of people have come to Christ and turned away from their sin. And automatically, that has an impact on society. It brings about certain types of reformation. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a desirable thing. I wish that would happen. But to think that it's up to the church, we got to get out and we've got to canvass the communities, we've got to campaign for this candidate, we've got to make sure everybody casts their vote, and all of that sort of a thing, I think we're being given wrong information. It's not the primary task of the church. Another thing that I'm hearing more of recently is the church's calling to sort out the environmental problems that have developed. I read recently about a big conference that's going to be taking place, Christians or evangelicals, I think it was, for the environment. And congregations are being encouraged to go green because, you know, that's what the Bible says. And we ought to be vegetarian and all of these different kinds of things. And you think, where are these guys coming up with this stuff? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not thinking we should trash the planet. I don't think we ought to all go out and have a litter fest or, you know, get the biggest gas-guzzling SUV you can possibly get. You know, we all probably ought to be doing our part to do whatever we can. That's fine. But for the church to go out now on this big campaign, this big mission to say, you know, we've got to clean up the environment, where do we get this stuff? Where do they get this stuff? I mean, this isn't the calling of the church. I had a funny experience yesterday. Cheryl and I were shopping and we were standing in line getting our groceries. And the man standing behind me, he suddenly says, you know, by the looks of your food, I would guess that you're driving a Prius. And I said to Cheryl, I never knew that you could tell what kind of a car a person drove by just looking at their groceries. But I said to the man, I said, no, we're not. He says, don't tell me you're driving an SUV. I said, we're driving little SUVs. We have little baby ones, you know. We're trying not to pollute. And, you know, I was tempted to go into, you know, I had a few things that I thought I might say to him. And I decided not to. I thought it'd be better just to be nice and go about my business. But, you know, here we are. We're in this environment these days. And this whole green thing is really taken off around us. And so we're hearing these voices. This is the church's responsibility. I've even heard people say the church, Christianity, is responsible for the pollution in the world because, you know, Christianity laid the foundation for the Industrial Revolution and that's when it all started. Christians are to blame and they ought to clean it up. What is the church called to? The church is called to do the same thing today that Jesus sent the disciples into the world before he ascended, and that is to make disciples of all nations. The church is called primarily to get the gospel to people. Because you know what happens? When people get the gospel and get saved, you know, it transforms their lives, and they change, and they start living life differently, and they start doing things differently. Before I was a Christian, I didn't think twice about trashing anything. I'd go somewhere and I didn't think twice about trashing. It wasn't my problem. I wasn't going to clean it up. I didn't care. I'm just going to trash it and move on. Once I became a Christian, nobody had to tell me not to do that anymore. I knew intuitively that that was wrong and I never did anything like that again. You see, all of these things are going after symptoms and ignoring the root cause of the problem, which is sin in the heart of man, and this is what the gospel deals with. And so we are called to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all the things that Jesus has commanded us. But don't misunderstand, when it says nations here, some people have taken this to mean that we have to make the United States and other countries into a Christian nation. You see right here, Jesus says, make disciples of all the nations. The Greek word does not mean what we mean when we use the term nations. The Greek word is ethnos. It means ethnic groups. You see, in these days, in the days of Jesus and the apostles, the world in their mind was divided into two different categories, Jews and nations, Jews and ethnos, Hebrew, Jews and goyim. You were either a Jew or you were goyim. You were all of the rest of the people. And that's who Jesus is talking about. This gospel that originated with Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and now through Jesus the Messiah, is to go out from Israel to all of the nations, and from all of those ethnic groups, you are to make disciples. You see, that's what we're to be doing. We are to be getting the gospel out to people. The church's specific calling is to be, if I can use this term, we are called to be a salvation station. And we are called to send the gospel of salvation out into the world. And we here are called to send it out from our home base right here. If you would like to use Jerusalem, this is our home. Just like it started back in Jerusalem and went out to all the nations, to the farthest parts of the earth. So we start here and we go out from here to all the nations. That's the call of God. And we individually who make up this congregation and all Christians who make up various congregations, we have some part to play in that, but that's where we go back to the will of God. That's where we discover the specific calling, and you see it all connects together. And then, of course, ultimately, what is the message that we're proclaiming to the world? It's the message of the grace of God. So it all beautifully fits together. So here's the question that we close with. How? We're told not to be children in understanding, but to be mature. How can I grow in my understanding of these things and other things like them, these vitally important things? How can I grow in this understanding? It's real simple. We have to faithfully and prayerfully apply ourselves to these things. And listen, if you faithfully, prayerfully meditate on God's word, you know what he does? He gives you understanding. He increases your understanding. He gives you wisdom beyond anything that you could have ever attained yourself. He instructs you in the things that are right and true and good. You know, with Israel, God desired with Israel to set them apart as a nation and to have all of the nations look on in admiration and say, what nation is like this nation who has God so close to them, who has such great laws and is so full of wisdom? It wasn't something that they were going to attain themselves. It was something that God was going to do in them and through them. And with us as the church, you know, really to some extent, the world ought to be looking on at the church and saying, you know, they're doing it right. They've got answers. We need to go to them. But could it be because we lack understanding, because we've been distracted, because maybe we've even been in sin, or maybe we just haven't taken the time to grow in our understanding? It's something that we must apply ourselves to. Remember those verses in Proverbs? Apply our heart to understanding. Lift up our voice for understanding. With all you're getting, get understanding. And you see, as we come to the Lord personally, individually, and we say, Lord, I want to understand these things better. I mean, think of the people, lots of people in the world, and probably many of you here, you went to college, you got a degree, you studied various things, you became, to some extent, an expert in a particular field. And you think of all the time you had to devote to that, all the effort that you had to put forth, all the study and all of that sort of a thing. And all of us do that, and we're happy to do that, and we understand that that's how you acquire knowledge, and that's just the way it is, and you've got to discipline yourself. You know, and we think of that in all of these areas, but somehow we don't think of it so often in the area that matters most. We don't think about it in regard to the scriptures and the things of God. And maybe we drop into a Bible study once every few weeks or, you know, something like that. And then we wonder why we don't understand. We wonder why we don't know. We wonder why our lives are a mess. We wonder why we can't get it together. We don't have understanding. But we will have understanding if we faithfully, prayerfully apply ourselves to these things. And that is what I encourage you to do today.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures, remembering that all we need is Jesus. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Be Mature in Understanding, and the resource number is OBB473. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.